Happy New Year, everybody. You know, the first thing I want to say in this brand new year is congratulations to you for surviving this last year. You did it. Congratulations. 2020 was a difficult year, but you made it through. The second thing I want to say is I want to thank all of you personally who volunteered in ministry in any capacity at Saddleback Church in 2020. Our Light of the World Christmas experience, all of you who volunteered for that, our food distribution, all of our other ministries, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to thank our worship teams who did an amazing job this past year. Every single week, they just kept growing and giving us more and more beautiful worship services. Now, you know, as a church, we didn't merely survive 2020, we actually thrived. Yep, in terms of ministry, evangelism, and mission, it was actually our most productive year out of all of our history. In 2020, the number of people participating in worship at Saddleback actually more than doubled. It more than doubled as you invited your friends to watch online. And in serving our community, God opened doors for us to get a dozen new ministries started, including ministering to more than 500,000 people who needed food. And while we couldn't meet on the weekends, our campuses were busy 7 days a week serving our community. And as a result, get this, 24,404 people committed their lives to Christ for the very first time and found forgiveness and salvation in their purpose in life. That's amazing. That's a record for Saddleback Church in 1 year. Now listen, 5,560 of these new believers came to Christ through these online worship services. But three times that amount, 18,844 other new believers were led to Jesus through your personal one-on-one witnessing, the witnessing of our members during COVID. And I'm sure there's no other church that can claim that. That's a record for Saddleback's 41-year history. More people came to know Christ through Saddleback Church last year than in any other year. So I ended this year being very grateful for your faithfulness, being amazed at your compassion, and being astounded at your creativity. Now, in a normal year, Christmas time, about 60,000 people attend Saddleback Christmas services. But this year, just at the Lake Forest campus, over 120,000 people experienced our Light of the World drive-through presentation. And it was the talk of the community. And that doesn't even include all the other Christmas events that we did at our other campuses. Now, as we start this new year, I want to begin with a mini-series on clarifying God's vision for your future. So I'm going to teach a short series on vision, the power of vision. And before we launch into our major book study of 2021, which is, by the way, going to be the book of Acts, and I'm super excited about that. But one of the stories we'll learn from Acts is the results of Paul giving his testimony, a courtroom testimony to King Herod Agrippa, an official of the Roman Empire. And Paul explains how Jesus transformed him from being a religious terrorist who was out murdering Christians to becoming a Christian missionary. That's a pretty big U-turn. And he details the vision for his life that Jesus gave him. And then he concludes by saying this in Acts chapter 26, verse 19. He says, "So King Agrippa," this is the guy he's talking to, he says, "I have not been disobedient to the vision God gave me. I have not been disobedient to the vision God gave me." In the Message paraphrase, Paul says it like this: "What else could I do, King Agrippa? I couldn't just walk away from a vision like that. So I obeyed it." Now I want you to listen. As your pastor who loves you deeply, I want to help you, particularly in this new year, 2021. I want to help you get to the place that you're able to say the same thing one day when you stand before God to give an account of your life. I want you to be able to say to God, "I fulfilled the vision that you gave me for my life." That's why we're going to do this mini-series. You can't fulfill your life vision, of course, until first you see it, and then you understand it. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says this: "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Now, what does that mean? Well, there are at least three results of not having a vision for your life. I want you to write these down. An unclear vision leads to three things. It leads to indecision, it leads to division, and it leads to a collision. First, an unclear vision leads to indecision. Do you remember this verse from our study of James, James chapter 1, verse 8? Double-minded people can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do. Without a vision for your future, you're just drifting. You wander. You ramble through life. You're not really living. You're just existing. You don't have any goal or purpose or plan or meaning. You just kind of let life happen to you. I don't want you to do that in 2021. When you don't have a vision, you waste time and you miss opportunities. You don't make the most of what you've been given. And without a vision, you're a poor steward of life. You end up just coasting. And you know, when you're coasting, you're always headed downhill. So it causes indecision. Second, an unclear vision leads to division. Division. It causes people to go different directions in different ways, to be divided on things. If you aren't sure where you're headed, don't expect anybody else to go with you or to marry you or to agree with you or to partner with you, because everybody's just going to head off in a different direction because no one has a clear path. You know, this lack of clear vision is one of the causes of all the division in America right now. Here's an interesting verse from Proverbs 28, verse 2. In the Message, it says this: when a country is in chaos, everybody has a plan to fix it. Okay, they're all going in different ways, different directions, division. But it takes a leader of real understanding to straighten things out. Vision is the answer to division. The third thing that happens when you don't have a clear vision for life is a collision. In other words, without a clear direction for your life, it is inevitable that at some point in your life, you're going to crash into some kind of dead end. And, you know, for many people, when you think about it, I've met a lot of people, life's just a series of collisions, relational collisions, confrontations, financial crashes, personal crisis, just one after another. They go from one dead end relationship to the next, or from one dead end job to the next. Life's kind of like a bumper car ride. You just keep bumping into everybody else and you get hit from all sides. Now, the Bible warns us of the damage of not following God's vision for our lives. 1 Timothy 1:19 says this in God's Word translation: some people have refused to let their faith guide their conscience, and their faith has been destroyed like a wrecked ship. That's a collision. On the other hand, having a vision for your future requires hard work. That's why a lot of people don't have one. It requires faith. It requires thinking. It requires prayer and seeking God, all the things we're going to talk about in this series. If you just make up a vision for your life, well, that's no better than coasting. What you want is God's vision for your life. And that is the result of seeing things clearly, seeing with eyes of faith rather than eyes of fear. We're going to look at that today in just this introduction message. You know, in the Bible, Jesus has a lot to say about your vision, about how you see things, and about blindness. In fact, in the Bible, blindness is always a metaphor for having a closed mind. When he talks about people who are blind, he's talking about their minds are closed. They're not open to new ideas. They're not open to what God wants to say. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23 is a verse we'll come back to in this series on vision, because Jesus said this. Listen closely. Look at this verse. Your eyes are the lamp of your body. And if your eyes are open and good, your whole body will be full of life, light. But if your vision is bad — I just got new glasses, I've got good vision again — if your vision is bad, your whole life will be full of darkness. And he says, if the light that you think you have is really darkness, it's the worst kind of darkness you can have. Now, Jesus is saying that if you don't really see things clearly, correctly, truthfully, you may think you're living in the light, but you're not. you're really living in the darkness. And you're missing all the wonderful things that God has in store for you, for your future, because you just can't see it. Now, we've all heard the expression, what you see is what you get. And in many ways, that's actually a biblical statement. We're going to look at the implications of that idea through many scripture verses during this series on vision. But what I want to do today is just introduce a series on God's vision for your future. And I want us to go back to a story in the Old Testament that involves Moses and the Jewish slaves who'd been freed by God from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Now, here's the background of the story. We're going to look at Numbers 13 and Numbers 14. Here's the background. In the book of Numbers, God had promised these freed slaves a homeland of their own, and he calls it the Promised Land. I'm going to set you free from Egypt, and I'm going to take you to the Promised Land. It represented their future. It represented their inheritance that God wanted them to enjoy. It would become the land of Israel. Now, after crossing the desert, they've gone through the Red Sea, crossing the desert, all these freed slaves, they come to the edge of the Promised Land, and Moses chooses 12 representatives, one from each of the 12 tribes, to go ahead of everybody else and spy out the land. And he says, I want you to go in, check it all out, and return with the vision report. This is a fact-finding mission. In other words, it's a vision trip. And Moses says, go into the new land that represents our future and find out everything you can, find out what it's like, see everything you can see, then come back and report to us on everything you have seen. This is a vision trip. Numbers 13, 17 to 20 says this, Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the new land. Go northward through the Negev into the hill country and see what that land is like. And find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? Do the towns have walls? Are they unprotected? How's the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Enter the land boldly and bring back samples of the crops you see. If you're taking notes, circle that phrase, you see. Now, why did Moses do this? Because Moses was a great leader. Why did he send these spies on a vision trip and ask for a report? Here's the reason. Listen to this. If you're a leader, this is really important. Before people can succeed with a goal, they have to see the goal. If you're a leader, you need to understand that. We can only accomplish the impossible if we first see it in our minds. Everything that's ever been accomplished in history started as an idea in somebody's mind first. You have to imagine it. You have to see it. Sometimes you have to taste it, but you definitely have to visualize it. And that's why I'm going to teach you, as the beginning of this year, a new series on getting God's vision for your life. Now, Numbers chapter 13, verse 21 to 23 says this. So, they sent spies in. They spied out the land all the way.